In India this past weekend, there was another clash between Hindus and Muslims. A dozen shops and homes were burned in the western state of Gujarat. One Muslim was killed and 15 people were injured. The growing tension between India's Hindu majority and Muslim minority has secularists worried about the country's fragile religious balance. Adding to the concern is Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee's recent decision to reshuffle his cabinet, appointing Hindu hardliners to top positions. In the first of a two-part series on Hindu-Muslim relations, NPR's Eric Weinert looks at India's rising tide of Hindu nationalism.
India's Hindu revival is hard to miss. At the Sai Baba temple in New Delhi, the devotees include beggars, some with amputated limbs, computer executives in suits and ties, women wearing long flowing saris, others in blue jeans and halter tops. Nearly everyone here is carrying baskets full of jasmine flowers and coconuts, offerings for Sai Baba, one of Hinduism's most revered saints. Kulbhushan, a businessman with a rose petal pasted to his forehead, says the number of devotees is growing all the time.
There used to be only one temple earlier. Now there are four or five of them in and around Delhi. And they are all equally crowded. Sai Baba, the powers are unbelievable. You know, it's something you cannot express actually, something you can feel.
Bhushan is not the only one getting in touch with his Hindu roots. Millions of Indians are rediscovering this ancient religion, even as McDonald's and mobile phones enter their lives. And some want to take the Hindu revival a step further.
India should be a Hindu nation because we have just one country to live in.
That's Sunil Kumar, a marketing executive and a regular at the Sai Baba temple. Hindus may make up more than 80% of India's population, but Kumar believes they are a majority under threat from large multinational corporations, under threat from Christian missionaries, and most of all, he says, under threat from India's more than 120 million Muslims.
The way the Muslims are increasing in our country, it's tremendous. They create a lot of problems, and they've been creating problems all over the world. So that community is really, you know, troublesome community.
In February, a Muslim mob allegedly set fire to a train in the western state of Gujarat, killing dozens of Hindu activists. In the ensuing riots, more than 1,000 people died, nearly all of them Muslims. It was the worst case of sectarian violence in India in a decade. Human rights groups accuse the Hindu nationalist government of looking the other way, or in some cases, encouraging the bloodletting. Early morning at a New Delhi park, a few dozen members of the RSS, staunchly right-wing Hindu group, methodically perform a vigorous exercise routine. They're all wearing identical khaki shorts, and they all share an identical ideology. Get ready, my friends, they sing. Pick up your swords and get ready. Fight for Indian victory. Vishnu Haridamiya, president of the World Hindu Council, says Hinduism may be a religion of peace and tolerance, but even Hindus have their limits.
So now Hindus have begun to realize that they can't take things lying low. A point is reached when you have to take some action. You can't just be a spectator all the time.
Dalmia lives in a large house in one of New Delhi's most prestigious neighborhoods. Police guard the front gate, even though Dalmia is a private citizen. A powerful one, though. He has the ear of Deputy Prime Minister Lal Krishna Advani, a Hindu hardliner, who analysts say is now running the day-to-day operations of the government. For the first time since Indian independence in 1947, Hindu nationalists have the power to carry out their agenda, and they're starting with education. Students like these will soon be studying a new curriculum if Education Minister Manohar Joshi has his way. He says he wants to Indianize, spiritualize, and nationalize the education system. The planned curriculum highlights atrocities committed by Muslim invaders centuries ago. Ram Krishna Goel, one of the architects of the new curriculum, says it's designed to instill national pride in students and more accurately reflect Indian history.
There's nothing, no harm in there in telling them what the invaders did and how the invaders looted this country and how the invaders demolished your temples and how they committed so many other things, you know, conversion by force.
Several state-funded universities are now offering degrees in Hindu subjects, such as Vedic math and even astrology. Secular groups say the move is a dangerous one, blurring the line between temple and state. India's Muslims worry that they may be swallowed up by the country's Hindu majority. But government officials insist the country's religious minorities have nothing to fear. Again, Ram Krishan Goel.
It's not that we are opposing any religion, you know. We never. But we have to protect ourselves also, you know. That is always in self-defense. Something has to be done.
Protect from what?
Protect from the evildoers.
His use of President Bush's phrase, evildoers, is no accident. Hindu nationalists repeatedly point to September 11th in order to bolster their case for a tougher line against Muslim militants in Kashmir and against Pakistan for allegedly supporting them. Raj Mohan Gandhi is an author and the grandson of India's founding father, Mahatma Gandhi.
September 11th. The war on terrorism that was triggered by September 11 has, in a way, made the world an angrier place, a less patient place. And of course, the Hindu supremacists here want to cash in on the war on terrorism. Or by saying to the world that, look, we too are fighting your battle. We are fighting the Muslim terrorists here. You are fighting it over there, so please understand us.
But most Indians do not understand or approve of the Hindu nationalists. A prominent Indian playwright calls them the Hindu Taliban. Ravi Nair, a human rights activist, says a relatively small group of extremists have hijacked Hinduism, just as Muslim extremists have hijacked Islam.
The average Hindu is extremely worried because he is seeing a manifestation of Hinduism which he never saw about, which he never learned from his mother or grandmother or through his folklore or through his mythology. This Hinduism is alien. This Hinduism is talking about hate, it's talking about intolerance, it is creating scapegoats, it's creating fear. Hinduism is supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive.
Visitors file into the Gandhi Smriti Museum in New Delhi, one of several that honors the Indian leader assassinated by a Hindu extremist in 1948. Today, as on most days, the museum is nearly empty. Many Indians believe Gandhi's message of nonviolence and religious harmony is no longer relevant. The Mahatma's grandson, Raj Mohan Gandhi, disagrees.
I think we have to recognize India is getting impatient, India is getting angry, as are other parts of the world. That's no proof that Gandhi's ideas are not relevant. I think it is proof that people just need to get calmer and quieter.
And that, says Raj Mohan Gandhi, is the very essence of Hinduism.